We have to make choices, and sometimes these choices are major choices. Recent literature has suggested that these choices are called tipping points. That you step out and you take the choice and it tips in a direction that completely changes the way your future and your life will be. I would like to suggest that the text you heard read very well this morning is a tipping point in Scripture. It comes to a point of divergence. A choice must be made. The choice is made. And because of that choice, the world today is not the same. Mark in chapter 1 approaches the life of Jesus in a very different way. He opens clearly with the words, "The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And then it says, there was John the baptizer. Notice what's missing? There's no birth story. Jesus wasn't born. He was there already, but there was no birth story. There's no genealogies that you find in Matthew and Luke. And though John doesn't have a birth story, he brings Jesus the Word back to the beginning of all times. In the beginning was the Word, that is Jesus. So there is a point of beginning, but John starts immediately. This is a gospel of Jesus. And then bam, 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 he's into it. John comes, he's baptizing, he looks like a prophet. All Jerusalem is going to him. All Judea is going to him. And then in our text, verse 9, it starts, and Jesus goes from Galilee to be baptized by John. We may wonder why Jesus needed to be baptized even at all. But Mark isn't interested in that question. He's interested in what happened, and he is interested in what Jesus saw. And so Jesus comes, he is baptized by John in the Jordan River. He comes up out of the water. And Jesus sees heaven torn open. He sees the dove, the Spirit, descending upon him. He hears. And if you notice in the text, it seems that Jesus is the only one that hears the words that are spoken from heaven. The speaker is not identified. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. I'd like to suggest that's at the tipping point. But it's not what you necessarily think. The other writers have God speaking to Jesus, affirming, identifying. Others around here hear what is said. The other writers that talk about the baptism of Jesus have the Son, has the Spirit descending upon Christ. But Mark is the only one that talks about the heavens torn apart. It's kind of amazing. Do you know what that means? Have you seen that before? That at the baptism of Jesus, the heavens are torn apart. This is what Jesus saw. And this, I think, is what is significant in our text today. This is the tipping point of Scripture. Immediately after this experience, what happens to Jesus after his baptism? He goes out into the wilderness. In fact, the word that is used, he's driven in the wilderness. He's driven, or the Spirit drove him to the wilderness. I've heard some people, tongue-in-cheek, playing with it, wondering what the Spirit drove him in. I came by Amtrak. You know, you may have come in a Toyota or a Honda or something a little more interesting. But the Spirit, it said, drove him in the wilderness. Do you notice the contrast in the Spirit? Coming, descending, the dove-like Spirit drives him now into the wilderness. And you see what's in the wilderness. If the Spirit was to drive me anywhere, I wouldn't want him to drive me there. But the issue is, I don't need to go there. Jesus did. In the wilderness, he is confronted by Satan. It says that Jesus was tempted. The other gospel writers, Matthew and Luke, tell us what that meant. We don't know. It just says here, Jesus was tempted by Satan. What else does it tell us? Something else that you don't always catch in the story. Jesus is there with wild animals. I wondered about that. You know, was Jesus the wild animal that the Pharisees could not domesticate? Don't know. But why there with the wild animals in the wilderness? And he was there for how long? 40 days. I'm assuming 40 nights too. But it's rather a use of terminology. You know, Moses was in the mountain for 40 days. Elijah, when he ran from Jezebel, went to Horeb, took 40 days. There are other 40s throughout Scripture, kind of a good rounded number. If you want something to be scriptural about, you say, well, let's do something for 40 days. 40 days of prayer and fasting. Now, if you notice, Mark does not say that Jesus fasted. It does say that Jesus was ministered to by angels. And I like that. But heaven is torn apart, and the next thing that happens is this experience in the wilderness. I think that this gives us a picture of the controversy between God and evil forces as it plays out in the world, centering in God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Heaven is split open. This is a tipping point because of the issues that take place in the wilderness. That those things that were initiated just after creation are picked up again. And you have some of the players, Jesus representing humankind, the Spirit of God, you have the ministering angels, and you have the animals. But now they are wild animals. And it's come to the point What do we do? This is a confrontation. This is a resolution of the battle between good and evil. It will be solved here. It is a tipping point, for heaven is split open and God comes near. God comes nearer, I think, in this time than God has ever been. And so what happens next? John is arrested. He's in prison. Jesus goes to Galilee. And Jesus starts to proclaim the good news. Now I want you to think again, all the way back to creation. What was the operative force in creation? What does Genesis 1 tell us that made things happen? God spoke. And it happened. God used words. The operative force in creation were words. We use words today and we call them theology. But it was words. God used words. And now Jesus comes using words. And we use words today to tell about the good things of God and the experiences we have of God in our lives. Words are the operative force. So Jesus proclaims the gospel. And what is the gospel? He comes saying, the time is fulfilled. Catch the next few words. And the kingdom of God has come near. The heavens are torn apart. For you and me, it means that the kingdom of God now has come near. Jesus is in the midst. Jesus is among us. The words of proclamation, the words of truth, the gospel are expressed. God has come close to us in Jesus Christ. This is a tipping point. Right at the very beginning of the gospel, the tipping point for all creation, for the resolution of the issues, is there. The tipping point happens. And so what is the gospel? The kingdom has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Throughout his ministry, as Mark tells us, there are continual confrontations with the powers of evil and Jesus, with Jesus, to the point that he is arrested, tried in a mockery of a trial, and put on Calvary's cross. The day starts out bright and becomes dark. And he dies, and something remarkable happens. Mark tells us. He uses similar, the same words that he uses in his first chapter, in chapter 15, where it talks about the temple and the veil that is torn apart from top to bottom. That most holy place that symbolizes the dwelling of God amongst people is ripped open. It is visible to all in the cross of Christ that is torn in two. Heavens are open. You and I have access to God. And remember in reading in chapter 1, when the heavens were torn apart, what did the voice say from heaven? This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased. When Jesus dies at the cross, that veil in the temple is torn asunder. There standing at the cross, a Roman centurion, a Gentile. Do you know what he says? Truly, this is the Son of God. It is remarkable at the beginning of the gospel and at the end of the gospel, these things are underscored. God has come near to us in Jesus Christ. Jesus proclaims the gospel to us. The kingdom of God is in our midst. So what are we to do about it? All nice if it doesn't work in what we are to do. Two things. Only two. I'm surprised there's not a long list, but it's simple. You can see it in the text. First one is repent. Now, we've been told as we study at different points, as we study different things in Scripture, that repent means that I'm going one way and I turn then and go the other way. Repenting is turning around. But you also need to know that repentance means turning around, not away from something, but to turn towards something. To repent is asking us, turn towards Jesus. How simple can that be? What are we to do with heavens torn apart? The way to God and Jesus Christ open to all of us, turn and go to God. When things pull us other directions, what are we to do? Turn and move towards Jesus Christ. How simple can we get in understanding what the gospel is about? The second thing we are to do is also very simple. It just says, believe. Okay? What am I to believe? I would assume what Jesus taught. And you can find that in looking at Scripture. What is Jesus about? Jesus is the Son of God. Believe it. Or another way of putting it, and it's very simple, is trust that it is true. Trust is one of the words that comes from the same root as believe. And so does faith. We stumble over the word faith because of its theological implications in trying to structure a strong understanding of what the text means. But it is simply, trust what Jesus says. Believe it. Take it to your life. It is true. And sometimes, when our minds, we try to want to prove things and understand things in a particular way, we must take the step and say, I'm going to trust it's true. It is reasonable, it is understandable, I trust, I believe, I accept. And so what do we have here in the text? Good text. Jesus comes to be baptized of John. He comes from Galilee. Everybody else up to this point is identified as coming from Jerusalem and Judea. He's from Galilee. When he is baptized, he comes up out of the water. Heavens are ripped open. I'm never going to look at this text any other way again. We pass over those words so many years. Heaven is ripped open. The dove descends. The voice of Jesus speaks. This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased. He goes to the wilderness, driven there by the Spirit, confronted with Satan, wild animals, ministering angels. The fight is on again, but the fight is won several years later when a veil is ripped in two and the way into the Holy of Holies for all people, the way into the presence of God is made sure in the death of Jesus Christ. And again, the words of a Gentile, not a person among the believers, truly this is the Son of God. And so just as God used words to create, Jesus uses words to recreate the church. And this is why we continue to use words to tell the story of a kingdom that has come near. And what are we to do about it? Two things. Very simple. Number one, believe. Number two, repent. God is so good. Accept His gift.